always interested in the welfare of his children and concerned about their well-being. The Bible tells us that he describes us as his own peculiar treasure. That's how much the Lord thinks of us. We find that in Exodus chapter 19 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 14. And in a chapter back from where we are now, or rather forward in chapter 62, we learn that the Lord delighteth in thee. Not only is the Lord interested in the well-being of his people, but he inquires of them. He inquires about them and he inquires of them himself. Takes that interest. Find out how things are with us. In a manner of speaking, we are told in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And in the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7, he knoweth them that trust in him. And in John chapter 10, that chapter that deals much with the Lord Jesus as a shepherd, we are told that he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. What a comforting thought. And he knows that his people have periods of difficulty, and he wants to counsel them and guide them and bring them safely through such times. And with that in mind, I want us to look at this verse in Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There is an instance of the marvelous care and love and compassion that the Lord has for his people. I want you to notice three things. First of all, I want you to notice the condition here that any one of us can experience. And you have it in the word, darkness. Let's read the verse again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? And then it's intensified. And hath no light. What a condition to walk in darkness and not to have any light. There is a condition, and God is inquiring of his people. He says, what about you, my people? Are there any like that among you? And he might well look down into this congregation today and ask the very same thing. Is there anybody here, my people, that are walking in this darkness and they have no light to lighten the way? Well, there are two things I want you to notice about this condition. First of all, there are the particulars. This is a surprising condition because it affects a Christian. The Christian is normally walking in the light. The Bible speaks of him as being a child of the light. He has taken the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness. We are told in 1 John 1 verse 7 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship of one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We are told in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5, ye are all children of light. So here's a mysterious thing. A child of light walking in darkness. This darkness is not the same darkness as the ungodly. The ungodly are darkness. They are in darkness day by day. Even though they may have no conscious troubles, even though they may have no particular sorrows or difficulty, they are still in darkness. The Bible says that they are. Ye were once darkness, ye were sometimes darkness. And whenever people are saved, they are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's not the type of darkness that the child of God is in. The type of darkness that the Christian is passing through is that of perplexity, is that of gloom, is that of disappointment, is that of discouragement, is that of not knowing what the future holds in a certain matter. And it's mystifying to him. A surprising condition, since he walks in light generally. But then again, there's another particular, and that is, this darkness is a test of the believer's faith. In 1 Peter 1 verse 7, we read of the trial of your faith. And here's where the test of the faith comes in. Number one, why should I have to walk through this darkness at all? And then secondly, why is the darkness settling about me for such a long period of time? And thirdly, I do not see any indication whatsoever that this darkness is coming to an end. And there are many times that Christian people are like that. They go through a trial and a severe, and there's no end in sight. The Lord knows all about it. He's asking you about it. And it's a trial to you. It's a condition. But then again, I think you have to acknowledge that whenever there's darkness, there's danger. There's danger if we take ordinary darkness from evil-intentioned people. They operate by night. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They can operate under cover of darkness. So to be in the dark is dangerous. The devil can lay about us. He takes advantage of our weak state. And if he could, he would take our lives. And then again, darkness is a time when an accident can happen. You maybe walk somewhere and you're not aware that there's something lying there that's an obstruction. Either you could trip over it, have a nasty fall, or maybe a hole or a ditch and you could fall into it and break a limb. At any rate, darkness has its difficulties. It's not a pleasant condition to be in. And we are told in the Word of God that for a man or woman who's not saved, that they're under the grip of darkness. There's the power of darkness, as the Apostle Paul calls it, that people are delivered from through the blood of Christ's cross. It's an adverse condition when a Christian's walking in darkness. And that brings me to another particular. You'll notice he's walking in darkness. He's still expected to do his duty. The Lord is not saying, is anybody here sitting in darkness? He says, are you walking in darkness? And the inference there is that even though times are hard, even though there are difficulties, we need to keep on as best as we can, the daily round, the common task, doing the things that we know pleases the Lord as much as we can. But notice not only the particulars here in this condition, but there's the people. Notice the wording again of this verse in verse 10 of chapter 50 of Isaiah. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant? Who is among you that feareth the Lord? There's reverence. The man or the woman who fears the Lord will always hold the Lord in reverence. He will hold his name in reverence. He will hold his character in reverence. He will stand in awe of him. Oh yes, he can be familiar. He can be intimate. He needs to be as a child of the Father. But he will remember who God is. He's not only the heavenly Father of all his people, but he's the Almighty God, the Holy One of Israel, the Rock of Israel, the Strength of Israel, the Lord God Almighty, the Everlasting God. He'll remember that. And he'll remember to be reverent. And then again, we're told that he obeys the voice of his servant. Now, the servant here is the Lord Jesus. This is a part of Isaiah that's dealing with God's righteous servant, away back from Isaiah chapter 42. But at any rate, we are learning from this passage alone in chapter 50 that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is in view here. And what the Lord is saying, that if you revere the name of the Lord and obey my servant, if there is reverence and obedience, you're the type of person that can be vulnerable and suspect or susceptible to this particular condition. You might say, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to do the best that I can. I'm trying to live righteously. But all of this is happening to me. Why should this happen to me? Well, one of the reasons is you're a child of God. And the marks of God's people are that they are an afflicted people. Again, this may be surprising. Some people may ask, do good people have to experience such a condition like this? Is this a condition not only for bad people? No, my dear friend, we're seeing from God's word here, it is for good people. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And we read also that in the world ye shall have tribulation. So there's the condition that people who love the Lord and treat Him reverently and people who respond to Him obediently have to suffer on occasion. So if you're going through this at this particular time, I'll say to you in the words of Peter, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, because that's what it is. So the Lord's inquiring, is there any among you walking in darkness and you've no light? But notice secondly, not only the condition that we may have to undergo, but there's the conduct that we have to practice in all of this. How are we to respond to this when we're walking through the darkness? Whenever we're undergoing a particularly severe trial, what's our response? Well, the answer is in this verse. Notice the end of verse 10. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There's the answer. That's what we have got to do. That's the conduct that God wants us to be given to. That's the response that he wants from us. Now let me notice the two things here. First of all, there's trusting in the name of the Lord. Let me take the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord here is Jehovah. Whenever you see that word Lord in the Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, you'll see it often in capital letters. Big L, big O, big R, big D. Other times it's a capital L and then an ordinary sized O or D. But when you see the capital letters in Lord, that is the reference to Jehovah. Now, the Jews wouldn't mouth the name of Jehovah. So sacred, so reverent was it. But Jehovah was the self, shows the name of, shows God as the self-existent one, shows God as the eternal one, the great I Am, and shows Him, and this word again, is the covenant name of the Lord. So what the Lord is saying here is, you've got to trust in the name of the Lord. The name stands for the person. You remember those words? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember when the baby Jesus was to be born with regard to his humanity long ago at Bethlehem? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. The very word Jesus denotes salvation. It's a contraction of the Old Testament word Joshua that means that. Now, we've got to trust in the living one, the eternal one, the all-powerful one, the unchanging one. Again, in Malachi 3 and verse 6, the Lord says, I am the Lord, capital L, the Lord God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Therefore, you're safe. You're going to be okay. Why? Because I'm immutable. I'm the covenant God, and I don't change. And this is what the Lord is telling us to do whenever we walk through the dark. We have got to trust in the name of the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is also the name of the Lord. You remember in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That's tremendous. The Lord Jesus says, he that has seen the Father, or he that has seen me, hath seen the Father. So trust in the name of Jesus. Trust in the Lord Jesus. You know what he's like. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. One of the hymns in our hymn book starts off We know him to be that compassionate, caring, kind, loving, but mighty, powerful, gracious, long-suffering, faithful to his word. I am the truth, he said. So God is now saying in this passage, he says, whenever you're going through this darkness, you've got to, at this particular time, trust in the name of the Lord. He is our dwelling place from all generations and from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. Trust in him. Faith. But then the verse says something else. Not only let him trust in the Lord, in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. That means lean. That word lean is very important, because if you lean on something, if I'm leaning on the reading desk of the pulpit, I'm putting the weight on it, taking the weight of other parts of my body. You've come into church and sat down. You've put your full weight of your body on the seat. You're resting and relaxing in a comfortable seat during the service. Now, this is what the Lord wants you to do when you're going through the darkness. He wants you to trust in the name of the Lord, wants you to trust in the Almighty God and all what his name stands for. And he wants you to rest in him. Stay yourself. And notice, upon his God. There's the covenant again. The moment you became a believer, Christian, God became your God. And you became his peculiar treasure. And God is in covenant with you. That should comfort us. God wants you to rest on that. He wants you to depend on that. Now, it's one thing knowing that God can do all of these things. It's another believing that he will do it. And that's where faith comes in the saying, when the rubber hits the road, God will see you through. This is what he's telling you to do that for. He's telling you here to trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God whenever you're going through the darkness. How will I do that then? Well, receive the promise. That shows you're trusting in him. Rest on his word. Believe the promise. Think of past experiences when God has come to your help before. And that will lighten up the darkness. There's a great hymn. We're going to sing it as we close. Part of it says this: his love in time past forbids me to think. He leaves me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Look at the past, how he delivered you before. Look at how he saved you out of that terrible darkness and gave you joy unspeakable and full of glory in your soul since you became his child. There was a man not so long ago, and he was going through a period of darkness concerning a certain matter. And it had to do with a delay that he thought was inordinate, that there shouldn't have been the delay to this particular request. And he'd been praying about this for some time. And the other night, he was sitting, thinking about the matter. And his heart went up to the Lord. And that verse of Scripture came into his mind from Psalm 112. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. And he said, Lord, I'm going through the darkness and I've no light on this matter whatsoever. Now, there is light in the darkness, thy word says. Would you give me light to show me the way through what my response should be through this darkness of delay that I can't account for? And then he remembered. He remembered this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 50. He remembered this verse down toward the end, and he said, there's something about light there in the darkness. And he very quickly turned to it. And as soon as he read the wording, it was an answer to the prayer that he had offered. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? And he reasoned, well, I'm seeking to live righteously, that walketh in darkness. He says, that's me with regard to this matter. And with no light, that's me. I can't understand what the darkness is. And then he came to these words, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. He says, Lord, you've given me the light. This is the course that I have got to follow. This is the conduct that I have got to be given to during this period of darkness in this matter. And he was right. And that was the light that settled his mind. That even though there's a delay, the Lord is saying, just trust me. Trust the name of the Lord. And stay yourself on your God. What an answer. And then, lastly, what are the consequences of all of this? Well, the consequences are not in the frame of the text, but they are a follow-on. What's going to happen? Well, there are three things. First of all, it's going to be the exalting of the Lord. God is glorified when we have unreserved faith in him. And sometimes that's why darkness falls around us. Sometimes that's why trials come. God is testing our faith. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please him. So therefore, if we want to please him, one of the ways, we must have faith in him. We read in Mark 2, verse 5, whenever those four men brought their friend to be healed of the Lord Jesus, they couldn't get into the house because the crowd was so large outside. They climbed up the side of the house where there were steps, broke open the roof, and let the man down through the ceiling. And the Bible says, when the Lord Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man. It was the faith that made the Lord respond the way that he did. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, he says in Luke 18, will the Son of Man find faith? This is what the Lord often inquires about. When the two blind men wanted to be healed of their blindness and asked the Lord for that, the Lord Jesus said to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Whenever the woman came on behalf of her child that was possessed by a devil, whenever she reasoned with the Lord and the Lord seemed to put her off time and time again, she said something. And the Lord Jesus said, oh woman, great is thy faith. So he's glorified, he's pleased when there's faith. There's not only the exalting of the Lord, but there's the energizing of faith. Whenever you come through a trial, and don't murmur, and don't try to take things into your own hand, but trust the Lord in the darkness, knowing that we're his children, you're his child, and he is in covenant to see you through. Wait his time. Do you know that whenever the light comes, and sometimes it can come suddenly, whenever the light comes, you'll find your faith has been strengthened. The Bible speaks about weak faith, and it speaks about strong faith. It speaks about little faith, and it speaks about faith that has been increased. And faith can only be strong and increased as it is exercised. Like the muscles in your body, if you do sit-ups or press-ups, wherever you want to have muscle instead of flab, well, it's only as you use those muscles that they become stronger. And it's only in those times that you exercise your faith, and it may be in hard circumstances, that's when your faith will be strong, your faith will be energized. But there's something else. Not only will you find the Lord being glorified, the exalting of the Lord, not only will you have your faith energized, but you'll be further established as a child of God. What a tremendous truth this is. These trials will help to anchor you in the strong rock of confidence in God in such situations. No matter what gales beset you, your vessel will be secure. And then again, no matter what difficulty you're going through, this darkness, these trials will help you to root you to the good soil of confidence in living the Christian life. Trials and darkness for the Christian do not always last forever. You can be sure of that. And let me say this as I come to a close. God is not out to make life miserable for his people. God is not out to spoil their joy, but rather God is out to bless his people. God has given to us an inheritance. So, again, as John Newton wrote in a verse I want to quote from this hymn, believe that God is using all of these things for your betterment. Newton found that out. This is what he wrote. He says, since all that I meet shall work for my good, the bitter is sweet, the medicine food, though painful at present, will cease before long, and then, oh, how pleasant, the conqueror's song. We know that all things work together for good, said the apostle, to those who love God. Let me finish with this. There are others here in this room today, and you are in another kind of darkness. The Bible says the understanding's dark. The Bible says that when a man becomes a Christian, he's called out of darkness, the inference plainly being that you're in darkness, going on through life, not even worried about the darkness. And then the Bible says there will come a time that you'll go into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, and there suffer the blackness of darkness forever in hell. I would urge you today, ladies and gentlemen, turn from your sin. Turn away from it. That's repentance. Turn from that darkness. See the light that's centered around the cross. See the light that shows us the Lord Jesus Christ, the bleeding sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And go to him and trust him. And then once you become a Christian, you'll follow after him and you'll not walk in that darkness anymore. The Lord will give you that light. And even in the darkness when it comes, there will be the light of his comfort, the light of his care, assuring you that while you don't understand why things are as they are in your circumstances at a given time, God knows why they are. And whenever his purpose concerning us has been fulfilled, he will let the light shine on our path again. Will you turn from your sin and put your trust in him today while you have time? Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for these lovely words that we have been fixing our minds upon in this text. We thank thee that you inquire about us. You know that those who obey thee and who love thee have their periods of darkness, and you have reasons for that. But you've given us the course to take. You've shown us light, the light being we trust in thee and stay ourselves upon thee, and we'll find by and by that thou will bring us out of the darkness into the light, strengthening our faith, establishing us in the Christian life further, and enabling us to glorify thee. God grant that it will be true of us all here today, and save those among us who are not saved yet before it's forever too late, and they go into outer darkness and the blackness of darkness forever. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.